You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt, Ty was making the point that Mike Pettine deserves this because despite all the turmoil going on around him, he still had this team playing. As a player, what did it say to you about Mike Pettine or the veteran leadership that and the buy-in to him that this team played as hard as it did down the stretch, barely losing on the road in Carolina to a team that won a playoff game, barely losing on the road to the Baltimore Ravens, who had the Super Bowl champions, you know, down big in the playoffs, and barely losing at home to an Indianapolis Colts team that went to the AFC Championship. Now, granted, they were all losses, but these were games that were played very, very competitively.
They definitely were. And what it says to me, there's a method to the madness that Mike Pettine is concocting here. And I think that it's something, and there's something special brewing here in Cleveland. And they're, on the cusp of something great. And you want to be a part of that. And I think that it's just it's a unique circumstance for a rookie head coach to be able to walk in and deserve and also receive the amount of respect that he did by this organization, not simply because he's the head coach, because that has to be earned, but he won over that locker room, as he said multiple times, and you want to play for a guy like that. And to be very frank, if I were here in Cleveland and I had an expiring contract, that's why the end of the season, some of those guys that stepped up and rode through even some of those tough losses was very special, because when that tape is going and reviewed, as we've heard Mike Pettine say, they're going to review that. What they're going to review and keep in the lead of their mind is, did these guys exemplify playing like a Brown? Can I go to battle with these guys? And for those of those that met it, they will be back and be a part of something special with Mike Pettine here. But for those that aren't, they will let them drift away and continue their path, you know, throughout the NFL, and maybe they catch on somewhere else. So but in regards to Ty's point about, you know, signing him up for that fifth option, it's Mike Pettine has taken, you know, one big step of winning three more games. Let's take another step and then entertain that, because I think for Browns fans, it's very tough, and as you hear from Alex Shiner and, you know, the State of the Union addresses that he has is, you know, we're just now getting done paying the, you know, getting done paying Mike Holmgren and the buyouts of the many coaches that we have cycled through. The last thing that we want to do is, you know, add a fifth year that adds to the bottom line, you know, for the Cleveland Browns, when we'll be paying, you know, how many times in the last 15 years have we been paying multiple head coaches because of the turnover rate? Now, you'd love to show trust.
Listen, but I agree. There's time to do it. It's 1 year and he's done some good things. There's plenty of time to do
that. Absolutely. There's tons of time.
And if he earns a reward, he's going to get a reward. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it.
This organization wants to win as bad as anybody, and they want to reward those that win here in Cleveland.
No question about it. Let me ask you this, because it was also made out to be that, you know, in light of this article, in light of Jason Lockenfor's article, for example, that you now have to all of a sudden assume that every free agent that wants to come here, you're going to have to significantly overpay for. I don't believe that to be the case. And how important is it, would it be to you? Would you even be, as a potential free agent, would you even be reading a Jason Lockenfor article like that? Would you have would your agent show that to you when you want to talk Cleveland? Or is it about the offer Cleveland puts forth? And would you be talking to guys like Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner, who would say, hey, we came here and we had great experience and we love it. Come be a part of it.
I think that's exactly what they would do, is they would see the offer on the table. I would look at the Cleveland Browns organization, not even just, you know, being as a part of Cleveland Browns Daily, but see a organization that is trending upward, you know, seeing a new owner who has spent, is recycling money into the organization, you know, a young dynamic general manager in Ray Farmer, a first-time head coach who solidified those foundations of winning. It's just a matter of securing other parts. And as we've heard from pretty much anybody we've had on in the last couple days, and that ESPN.com article, we're not that far away. So we're on the cusp of something special, and that would be attractive to me as a player, to be maybe that one piece that solidified this organization towards taking that big step into the playoffs, hosting a playoff game, and winning a playoff football game.
No question. And I think that is something that for the Browns certainly is encouraging and is exciting, because I think that's something that is a little overblown in terms of saying you got to overpay for these guys, et cetera. And it's good to hear that from a former player who has been a free agent in the National Football League, and my man, Matt Wilhelm. Let's go to Mike in Richmond Heights now. Mike, welcome to the show. Let's not go to Mike in Richmond Heights right
Mike's
now.
Mike's not ready yet.
He is not ready for us. Jason Gibbs is chatting up. Maybe it's one of Gibbs' friends just having a personal a personal call session over there. He's smiling pretty big, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He looks very happy. Maybe Mike's got some food for him. I don't know. We'll see. Let's find out. Mike in Richmond Heights, what's the deal? What's going on, man?
Nothing much. How's it going, guys?
Good. Are you Gibbs's boy? Were you and Gibbs just chopping it up over there, having good times, talking about old times?
A little bit. But hey, my take is this, man. I heard you guys state that that the free agents out here would not be reading into the article from Lockett. And I kind of disagree. Now, I will admit, though, it wouldn't be that big of a part, but it's that on top of all the dysfunction that we've had since 99, man. There's no way you can't take that into consideration. Because, I mean, if you just look at the deal and then you look at what the players are saying, the players are actually salesmen in a sense because they have a vested interest in you coming to the team.
Sure. I think that's very true. So how does that factor in? You know, if you have guys who are recruiting you, et cetera, is it just like back when you're getting recruited at college, et cetera?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, don't get me wrong. Now, you talk to the players to get more of a locker room type feel. So, I mean, you're definitely going to weigh what the players are telling you. But, I mean, to be honest, it seems like some of the players, at least the ones that are no longer with us, I mean, I understand that they may have an axe to grind or something, but to me, I don't even know if the players are fully buying in.
I think the players are buying in. I think you saw that by the effort that was given and put forth at the end of the season. Wouldn't you say that? Is that to you as a former player? What's the biggest indication of player buy-in to a coach and to a program?
I would say the way you measure that is the effort that you see on the football field. And to go back to the caller's comments, the two things that I would do if I were to talk to players or the individuals that I would kind of go after to seek information from to potentially come to Cleveland as a free agent, I would go to both ends of the spectrum. I would go to Joe Thomas, who's been here his entire career, who's seen multiple head coaches, multiple regimes come and go, and evaluate where he thinks this team is trending, because I don't think there's anyone more on this roster than maybe Joe Hayden and Alex Mack that want to win more and make that and have that playoff opportunity than Joe Thomas. And then also, too, I would go to, as you said, Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby, new additions to this that have played other places that can see and feel what they were sold when they were potential free agents, and then what actually happened, how they were received, what's it like playing for Mike Pettine in this defense, what is the dog pen all about, how is it to live in this city, how is it to raise a family, and ask them those questions as they transfer in. So you're getting both ends of the spectrum, and I would think there's a inkling of sales when it comes to it, but those guys have nothing other than to be honest to this guy, because they want and have been in that free agency opportunity before. They want what's best for this individual and also, too, what's best for the team at the same time.
Let's go now to Dennis in Lawdenville. Dennis, welcome to the show. What's up, Dennis?
Basically, I wanted a two-part question. You're talking about the free agents and whatnot. I want to know about the Browns free agents who are going to re-sign and whatnot, and from there.
Okay. I think, you know, certainly when you look at the top priorities, I would imagine that, you know, the names that come up, Buster Screen, Jabal Sheer, Jordan Cameron, Brian Hoyer, those are probably the top names that come up on that free agency list for the Browns in terms of guys that they will look to re-sign. You don't think Jabal Sheer is going to be back? I'm not sure that Jordan Cameron will be back. I don't think that Brian Hoyer will be back. So Buster Screen might be, of the unrestricted free agents, the top one back. Miles Austin, I thought, played well enough to show that he can play and contribute and continue to be a good veteran presence in that receiver room. I think when you look at free agents, good teams also let free agents go that they are not fully enamored with. Why? You get compensatory picks. Those could be third-round picks, fourth-round picks, etc. In fact, it was a compensatory pick that was used by Bill Belichick to select Tom Brady all the way back in the sixth round. So good teams often let their own free agents walk if they are not, don't feel strongly about them. I think if you'd seen more from Justin Gilbert, Buster Screen probably would walk, because you'd have Gilbert, you would have Joe Hayden, you have Kaywan Williams, who played very well in the slot. You have Pierre Desir. You'd be pretty set and pretty good shape at that cornerback position with your top four. Now, with the way that he struggled, you might want to be bringing a guy like Buster Screen back. So I think those are the decisions facing Ray Farmer. I don't think Ataba Rubin will be back. Those, to me, are the big decisions at free agent spot. All right, let's go to Bill in Willoughby Hills now. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm good, thanks. Question in particular for Matt. Thinking about Brian Hoyer and all of the good tangibles that he brings as a quarterback, it seems to me that his downfalling is not being accurate, you know, not throwing accurately. So, Matt, have you ever seen another quarterback, you know, be taught how to be more accurate, be coached how to be more accurate? Or is that just something that, you know, they have to be born with?
It's not necessarily something they have to be born with, but it's a characteristic that they carry with them from high school to college, college to professional. It's not, you know, you can't sit out in your backyard as a 30-year-old and throw to a net. And also, too, if Brian Hoyer's shortcoming is accuracy, you know, Brian right now can't, if he has a potential to come back to Cleveland, it's not like he's working with these Cleveland receivers because he's technically not going to be under contract. So it's going to be very difficult to work on his accuracy. And also, too, if he were to go to some quarterback guru or some quarterback school to work on that, as we see with guys in college, Marcus Mariota being one of them, Tebow, they're, you know, when the bullets come flying and you're in that game, you go back to what's easiest and that is what's been learned, you know, and it's very hard to break those tendencies because, as I said earlier, he's been doing them since high school and college, and he's got away with it, and now in the pros, that it's very hard to change those tendencies. So it'd be very difficult for Brian Hoyer.
In fact, if we were to study something from college quarterbacks to pro quarterbacks, the one thing that doesn't typically improve dramatically is accuracy. If you're not an accurate passer in
college, you have it or you don't.
You're not going to be an accurate passer in the pros. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little fact or fiction as we wrap things up here from the lovely ESPN 850 WKNR studios in downtown Cleveland. Nathan Zger, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs on the board will be joining us for Fact or Fiction right after this. Let me see you move.